fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. As we take a look at ISIS, we take a look at Ebola. Could the president have done more? Joining us now from Boots Blast is political columnist and former congressman and author of Harvard Hates America, former Congressman John Laboutier. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Nice to talk to you. How's things out in Boise?
We're living the dream, getting ready for a little rain coming up probably tomorrow, sir.
All right. Well, same here.
Well, tell us a little bit.
We can't do anything about the weather, but we can do something about the pathetic condition of our political system.
Well, as someone who has served and continues to serve and trying to wake up America, let's talk a little bit about, the Ebola crisis. Here we have now healthcare workers being affected, sir. And the president said, chances of it coming here kind of remote.
The minute I heard that, I go, oh, my God. Whenever I've learned over the years to do a translating machine. So when a government official says X, we all ought to translate it into Y, because whatever they say is not what's going to happen. It's not what they really believe. They have an ulterior motive for everything they say that usually is different from the truth. So in this case, I think they've been trying to tamp down fear and potential panic over Ebola. And up until a week ago, they were probably pretty successful. But when the guy died in Dallas, and now that the nurse has it, sadly, I noticed the tone from Dr. Frieden, the head of the CDC, on all the shows yesterday and Sunday, too. A complete 180, Kevin. He's done a complete 180. Now, all of a sudden, wow, we need to reexamine the way we're handling it, the protocols, blah, blah, blah. You can start to see worry in his face. You can hear it a little bit in the change of words. They don't have a clue, Washington, D.C. They don't have a clue how to handle this thing. They've already blown it by letting these people bring Ebola into America, which never should have happened. And they're scrambling to catch up. Same thing with ISIS. You know, they were late to the dance on ISIS. That's another kind of disease, a terrible disease, too. And they're behind the eight ball on that deal. We now learn that ISIS is 18 miles from downtown Baghdad. That's how dire this thing is over there.
I'm with you, but back to the Ebola thing. What if you were running the show, sir, what could we have done to prevent this from happening, to prevent this nurse from being infected?
Well, let's go backwards. I think that we don't know how this nurse, obviously there was a breach in something where she touched something that had Ebola on it, feces, blood, something. But I was saying it a couple weeks ago, is that the policy of the U.S. government should be very clear. Any passenger originating in Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and a couple of the countries where it's breaking out, they cannot fly into the United States, Kevin, unless they are put in a 21-day quarantine facility outside the United States somewhere. Once they've cleared that, welcome to America. But the idea of letting them in here, like that guy was allowed in, and I'm sure others, other reports of a guy in Kansas City may have it, this is crazy. And the idea that you're going to take their temperature at Kennedy Airport here in New York, and if they don't have a fever, you're going to let them in? You don't have a fever during the incubation period. You don't have any symptoms during the incubation period. You're carrying the disease. You don't know it. And some idiot at an airport doesn't know it. We should be treating this thing as if it's the most deadly thing known to man. And don't let it into the United States. Period.
I'm with you at 580KIDO. I was going to continue on with Ebola, but let's go move on to ISIS because the president called them the JV. You've been involved in these briefings. You're monitoring this. To me, ISIS and the people here at 580KIDO are just saying to ourselves, we're in a fight with people that aren't afraid of us, that don't fear us, and they're going to bring the fight to us regardless.
Right. Well, I think the president was being cocky when he said they're the JV last January, February, whenever he said it. But in all fairness to a president is only as good as the intelligence he's given by his intelligence community, which is CIA, DIA, the service agencies, NSA. We have a lot of them. And their job is to present to our political leaders an accurate picture of things. And they clearly underestimated ISIS and told the president that. He made sort of a flippant comment. So he said it, that's that. Now here we are 8 months later. We no longer think they're the JV. They're the major leagues. They are actually much more sophisticated than Al-Qaeda in the sense that they have chapters spread out on the Internet with divisions. So there's a PR division, a recruiting division using the Internet. They're much better financed than Al-Qaeda was because they – have stolen a lot of money. They control oil revenue in northern Iraq and parts of Syria. They're clever. And then militarily, I read this thing. They've got a lot of Saddam's ex-Sunni Republican Guard officers who, when the war ended, we locked them up for a while in prison camps in Iraq, and then their sentences ran out and they were let go. They had no money. These guys had no jobs. They had nothing to do, ex-colonels, majors. So they got recruited. First of all, they got radicalized in prison. But then they got recruited by ISIS. They're getting paid, and they're fighting, against us and the government in Iraq. It's just what they want. So they are a powerful and worrisome element that can only be defeated on the ground. This thing with airstrikes is a joke. It's not that big a deal. One day they announce, successful airstrike outside Mosul. We hit one piece of artillery and two trucks. That was it. That's not going to stop 30,000 maniacs with guns and stolen American military equipment.
Has there been a worse return on investment than Iraq?
No, we never should have gone into Iraq in the first place. That never should have happened. It was a ridiculous premise that we went in there for. We upset something that was really healthy for us, which was Iran and Iraq are neighbors, and they were at each other's throats for 30 years, hating each other, fighting each other, draining each other, spending all their money on each other, on military to fight each other. And we come in and topple Saddam. Now, Saddam was a SOB of the first degree. So, I mean, it's great that he's gone. But the result of him being gone, Kevin, was Iraq ceased to be a problem for Iran. Iran rolled right through the Middle East after that. They are funding all the terrorism in Hezbollah, Hamas. They basically run through surrogates, most of Iraq now. The Shia government of Iraq is an ally of Iran. Meanwhile, we lost 5,000 men, 20,000 badly crippled, several trillion dollars thrown down the toilet. For what? What did we get out of this thing? what do we get? Nothing.
Well, let me hit you with this, Congressman, as we move along here. How do you see this playing out where, as you said, we need boots on the ground, but we've cut the military. We continue to cut the benefits. We don't have the technology that we had before as far as research and development. So how are we going to solve this problem?
Well, I mean, that's a great question because it implies that we're going to be the ones that would have to go do the fighting. And so far, the American people don't want us to be the ones on the ground. And I think the logic says we'll do the airstrikes, will do intelligence from satellites and drones to share with allies. But the actual on-the-ground fighting in Arab countries, being Syria and Iraq, should be done by Syrians and Iraqis, Arabs fighting for their own land. I don't see why Americans should go fight for it. Even if we go in there, and we could defeat ISIS, there's no question. We put our wonderful soldiers back on the ground over there, we'll wipe out ISIS. Then we'll pack up and come home. And a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years later, another ISIS-type thing is going to start up again. It never ends. This is why we're better off with a strong man running each of these countries, which is the way it's done. Egypt has a strong man. Saudi Arabia has a strong family, the royal family. Iraq had a strong man in Saddam, and he tamped down all these radical elements. Iran has the mullahs, strong people. It's the way of the world over there. This is not the New Hampshire primary where everybody's free to do what they want and vote and run for office and all. Man, we're talking barbarism over there. And the only way to tamp it down is to have a strong central government in each country. And that's what's going to have to crop up here. We can't run the Middle East. We can't even run our own country.
Well, and that's the issue when we take a look at just having the desire to do this. And here's another softball for you here at 580KIDO, Congressman. Have you seen a worse foreign policy than this administration?
No, and I understand it. It is typical of liberal leftist people like Obama. They have never been comfortable with America being the only superpower in the world. They don't like that. They don't like power. They don't like military power. They're uncomfortable with it. So if you notice, and you obviously have, we all have, since the day this guy took office, he won't lead. He invented something I never heard of before called leading from behind, which is basically abdicating American leadership, encouraging the UN, encouraging NATO, encouraging the Arab League, other entities to take the lead in Libya and the Israeli-Palestinian thing. Obviously, in the Iranian nuclear talks, we've got to have these talks. We've got six countries involved, not just us. He likes to have lots of other people leading the way on things. And that's not the American way, man. We are the leader of the free world for a reason, as we're gifted by God, I guess, to be incredibly powerful, both economically, militarily, and most of all, morally. And we're not using it properly.
Congressman, final thought for you here at 580KIDO. In your book, Harvard Hates America, you talk about the elites and their contempt. You could say that for the press. How do you see this playing out in the presidential campaign? Will we see a Republican ever elected in America today, considering the advantages that the Democrats have with a favorable press?
Yeah, well, the media, what's called the mainstream media, definitely is totally an attack for Obama, and I think they'll be totally an attack for Hillary. However, we shouldn't be discouraged, because on the right, what we've got is really good. We've got talk radio, which is fantastic. I'm a huge participant as a guest and sometime host and a listener, and it reaches a lot of people. We have Fox News, which is the highest rated cable network in the country now. And we've got some print, and we've got online. I mean, online, you can get everything you want. And we're getting our message out. It's okay. So we shouldn't be that discouraged about the so-called. If you look at the ratings of the mainstream media, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, they're all going down. Every one of them is going down, down, down. Fox, up, up, up. Drudge, up, up, up. A lot of talk radio, not up, but it's hanging in there. We're doing okay. We can get it out. Now, the question is, can we get a candidate who can have one foot in the Tea Party camp and one foot in the regular Republican camp and bring the two sides together? Because we cannot win if we're against each other. We have to be all united and we all have to vote. The last two times, McCain and Romney, when they both lost, there were like 3.5 million Republican / conservative voters who were registered who did not vote. And that could have made a huge difference in two or three states, and we would have won the election. So we got to get our people together and get them all to vote behind a good candidate. And that's a big if.
Congressman, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Kevin, it's a great pleasure. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
All right. Same to you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is 68 degrees in Boise, 621. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to traffic.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
625. Coming up, we'll have an update from Alma's husband, Jim. Still locked up in the Payette County Jail. Jim, last night, went to give her some socks. He was denied the ability to give her socks. Apparently, when you go to jail, you're allowed to give people underwear and socks one day a week. Really goes to show you, even in Idaho, and I blog about this, the Alma update at 580kido.com, that there are a few things going on that, you know, need to be brought to light. Okay, Alma spoke out in a public meeting. They asked her to leave. She said no, so they arrested her. Okay, you made your point. But to hold her in jail where she's having a hunger strike, and if you were listening later in the show yesterday, John Bujak was here. He went down to see her. He gave Jim Alma's wedding rings, and she can't wear them anymore because she's lost so much weight having been in jail since Thursday, almost a week now, I guess. Can't see her husband, can't take outside phone calls. We don't know if she'll be booked today and then bonded out. And if so, we hope to get her on. But it really underscores two things, which we'll get into at 6:35 with our friend Jim. Number one, at 580KIDO, that you can be imprisoned in Idaho for speaking out in a public meeting. Look, I get it. The law was broken. But not to be able to talk to a loved one, not to be able to communicate because you're not arraigned. There are people in Idaho that are drug dealers that are accused of committing horrible crimes, assault, robbery, rape, murder, that are out of the system faster than Alma, whose only crime was exercising her First Amendment right in the Constitution. Number two, and it's something that I kind of sketch around because I have to live in this world, the lack of give a rip by the folks in the local media. You know the folks that are always telling you about how much they care about you. You know the folks that are always running these great commercials about we're doing this, we're looking out for you. Well, who's looking out for Alma? Thankfully, we are. But if I were a news director, and gosh forbid, if the broadcast center would ever allow me to get a part-time job and run one of these joints, I can do a lot better job than the people now. Okay, I think we got the point about same-sex marriage. They're not going to get married till tomorrow, everybody. Do we really need to be out in front of the Ada County Courthouse? Is that really a story, or is that promoting an agenda? And they're all doing it. Here you have, in America today, a grandmother, a wife, and a mother being held. She hasn't seen her family. She's on a hunger strike, and it's ignored. Well, maybe the media in this town is owned by the oil companies. Maybe there's a powerful interest. And you know what'll happen? You'll know when I'm not talking about Alma anymore because they got to me. Oh, you're just blowing off steam, Kevin Miller. No, I'm not. Education, entertainment has been used to change the morals in America today. You take a look at men kissing each other. It started on primetime television with Friends and Will and Grace and everything else. And we see it when it comes to guns. Not to be confused with soon-to-be former Attorney General Eric Holder's comments.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Coming up, we'll talk about how entertainment, not news, is brainwashing your children and possibly you against the Second Amendment. But we'll hear from Jim Haas next. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Power of government, and sometimes when we grassroots folks want to come in and have a voice, our voice is just squashed. But the general principle that she showed up to speak her mind under the First Amendment and was arrested, that really rubs me the wrong way.
Let's get it started. Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. With the latest on our friend Alma the Anti-Fracker, we go to her husband, Jim. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Well, we've been keeping up with you via the Facebook, via social media and the old 580KIDO. What's the latest with your wife, sir?
Well, needless to say, I'm a little pissed off. First of all, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity to be on your show yesterday as far as today. I also want to thank John Bujak very, very much. He did visit my wife in prison yesterday, to his word. I did ask him the reason why he was doing it, because I was kind of curious. And John is a very, very good guy, and he cares about people's constitutional rights. I was very, very impressed with him, and this is not a campaign speech, but I like the gentleman. I really appreciate his time he took. ACLU also did contact Alma yesterday in jail, an attorney. So I found out stuff from behind the Iron Curtain of Payette County Jail, since I'm unable to talk to my wife or converse in any way or anybody else. First of all, I found out that she was not allowed to shower until Sunday. This is an inmate privilege, and she was actually given sub-inmate privileges. She's also allowed to shower yesterday, I guess, apparently, as well. So she's been there for, since Thursday, couldn't shower. She has been kept in a cell by herself. She finally got out on Sunday for 45 minutes in the yard with other female inmates. Kind of really got to me, though, is when John came out, he spoke to her for probably about 25 minutes. John had my wife's rings, and he put them in my hand, and my heart sunk. I didn't know what's going on. And John said, your wife can't wear these anymore. She's lost enough weight that the rings do not fit anymore. Alma is refusing food in protest and also exhibiting her rights not to speak. And, I'm trying to think, when's Stalin going to come in? this is ridiculous. And a lot of people in the community know Alma's, on the radio, know Alma's the anti-fracker, but, in Payette County, she's done an awful lot. In other areas, in Minidoka, the imprisonment site for the Japanese, she was instrumental in putting that on the national treasure list. She donates time throughout the community. She rallies a bunch of business professionals and donates thousands of dollars so people could have Christmas here in Payette County. She does a lot of things back, and she's willing to put her neck on the line. So if this is something, it's not about fracking. This is about First Amendment rights being treated like a human being, a tax-paying citizen, and be able to, accomplish things and make your community better. So that's what I have to say.
Jim, we can hear the emotion in your voice, but I urge you to take advantage right now here at 580KIDO. What do you want to say to perhaps Governor Otter, who may be listening, to the powers that be? People listen to this program, and people of influence listen to this program. Perhaps our friends in the electronic or print media will wake up and cover this story concerning your wife being held without you having the ability to speak with her.
My wife did have a little bit of a message. Going through everything here with the oil and gas, there are county commissioners and P&Z who have signed gas leases who have not disclosed them. And according to the county attorney, they don't need to disclose them. Alma found out about them through public record by going and looking at permits and applications. So this is just a lot of good old boy. This is not the way it should be done. If they went ahead and signed a gas lease, they should verbally bring it up in the meeting and exclude themselves from voting. So, you know, a lot of people are going to get pissed off about this. And, you know, and let it be. But people should not be treated like this. This is America. You know, it's all going to come out in the wash.
Well, let's hope so. And let's hope Mr. Bujak and the ACLU will get you some much-needed attention. Again, I'm surprised that we don't have the on your side or the looking out for you and all these slappies. This is a legitimate story. It's not just an Idaho story. It's an American story. Your wife is exercising her First Amendment rights. Okay, the point was proven. You don't speak out in the meeting. But to have her in prison, you actually tried to drop off a few things several times. And what happened to you then?
Yes, yesterday I tried again to get her some undergarments and socks. And if you do go to the Free Alma Facebook page, there's a picture that says that, you know, she's allowed to have these garments as a prisoner. But what I found out is that the drop-off could only be on Wednesdays. So I guess, you know, if you want to get arrested in Pay County, don't do it on a Thursday because you're going to have to wear the same underwear for a week. You know, I just couldn't believe that. You know, they wouldn't take it.
So do you expect her to be arraigned today, sir?
Well, I guess apparently we're going to try to see if she's on the docket. I believe that comes out about 9:30 this morning. So I to be honest with you, I don't know either way. She had the opportunity to be arraigned on Friday, but that did not manifest because she was asserting her right of, you know, not to speak. And because of that, they wouldn't process her. Everybody there knows who she is. When the attorney came on Friday to talk to her, the attorney could not go into legal capacity, only as support. He asked for Alma Hasse. They got Alma Hasse. No questions, not a blink, not who's Alma Hasse. They got Alma Hasse and put her in the room so he could talk to her.
How concerned are you about your wife?
Very concerned because I know her steadfast, I know her commitment, and she is sacrificing her liberties and her body so that this word gets out. And it kind of is a bummer that this is not a story because, you know, this is not just here in Payette County. This is throughout the United States. This is happening everywhere. And Alma wanted to make that a point as well through the attorneys. This is not just about Payette County. This is about everybody's civil rights. This is about a right to free speech, a right not to speak. John did tell me that Alma does have the right not to speak. The only time that you really have to give ID is if you're driving a motor vehicle. And she was not driving a motor vehicle in the PNC meeting.
So when Mr. Bujak spoke with Alma yesterday, what else did he say?
I think he was a little taken back, too. He's very interested in the case. He told me, you know, as far as Alma losing weight and gave me back the rings, you know, it's kind of pretty much the stuff that we brought up already. You know, I just can't believe she was not allowed to take a shower. And while the other inmates that have been in there for who knows what are having those privileges. I guess apparently there's a prisoner kit that gives them their rights and grievous forms and other things that she was denied originally. And I guess apparently you have to ask for things. Well, you know, neither one of us have been in jail before. We don't know the rules and everything else. So, and I don't know if she was denied because she wasn't processed or because she didn't know to ask. But in any event, that's not right.
So in other words, we have convicted criminals having more rights than your wife who was exercising her First Amendment rights. We're not talking Russia. We're talking Idaho.
Yes, sir.
Jim here at 580KIDO, what can people do? You know, I write about this, and we're going to continue to cover this. We're going to have you on tomorrow, and hopefully when your wife gets out, we'd like to have her on as well. We admire her passion. Let me hit you with this, though. I think two things have to happen. Somebody there has to be an adult and say, okay, this is not getting us anywhere. Imprisoning a wife, a mother, the grandmother, a community activist, this is a lose-lose for us. And people in the media, the television, the big newspapers, and again, I know the Ontario paper has covered it, but again, the one that talks about being a part of the community and the other one that talks about how they're the best ever as far as the newspapers, they need to cover this story and shame these folks into releasing your wife.
Oh, I agree. This needs to get out because, you know, this is not about fracking. You could be going there because, you know, they're thinking about putting a water tank right next to your house, or it could be some other issue that you want to go to a government agency about. And, you know, why go to jail because you want to speak? Even if at the meeting it's not the time, but if you're going to be framed at the meeting, I think you should have a right. It still blows my mind how the whole dissertation in the very beginning before Alma spoke out, they're talking about how information needs to be presented into record with proof from the citizens. But then when when the commissioner was saying about his findings in Santa Barbara County and Alma asked for that proof and was not submitted into the record, why is there a double standard on that? And, you know, for years and years and years, nobody really fact-checked anything. Why are they fact-checking right now?
Well, because she's on to something, and here's the skinny. They want to make an example out of her.
Well, it sure seemed that way. I encourage everybody to go to Free Alma Hasse Facebook page. There's a video there as well as Kevin's website. Judge for yourself what went on. This is not a biased thing. This could happen to anybody. This could, you know, it really shouldn't happen.
Well, Jim, we're going to have you on tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have Alma on. Our thoughts and prayers go to you. We'll continue to update you and whatever you need, we're here for you. And we urge our brothers and sisters in the local media to cover this story. I can't believe that people haven't covered this story. I mean, I think when the ACLU sends out a press release, then you'll get your coverage today, sir.
Oh, I appreciate it. But I do appreciate the article that you have wrote. Thank you so much. That was a lot of people really enjoyed that and supported it. And I appreciate the time you're giving me on your show.
Well, you know, your wife is a hero. And whether, you know, it goes beyond a talk show or agreement. This is America. And if we don't sit there and rise up, you know, this could be my wife. It could be your wife. It is your wife. It could be anybody else. So it's important, Jim. Please keep us involved. And, again, we'll do everything we can to raise awareness, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate your time. And thank you for everybody listening.
All right. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll have you talk to Ray.
Okay.
All right. Say a prayer for Alma. Your thoughts, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Time for traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
655, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. We go to the phones. Pro-Life, good morning.
Good morning there. You know, the non-decision by the Supreme Court, allowing all these lower court decisions to hold is really a terrible thing. And you'd think that there would be congressional people saying these justices need to be impeached on a serious thing like gay marriage, and then they punt so that a lower court gets to make the decision. That is about the most atrocious thing I've ever heard of. And you don't hear anybody that I've heard of saying that's an impeachable offense. I think it is. And we're just in a terrible position. Now, our governor could get Alma out of jail. He could also stop gay marriage tomorrow. And I've called him a wimp.
It's too bad you're not in the debate on the television station. You could have said that.
Yeah, well, they say you have to have $10,000 of somebody else's money.
They've kept you out of the debate tonight.
Yeah, because I didn't have $10,000 of somebody else's money.
That doesn't seem fair.
No, it isn't fair. But, you know, what is fair? People are... Money drives everything. If I had $10,000 and was going to advertise on KTVB, they'd probably say, oh, yeah, hey, you can get in the debate, even if it was my own money. I could probably talk them into it some way.
Good job, Pro-Life. Thank you for the call. We go to Butch in Nampa at 580-KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir.
I have yes for my thoughts, and you're probably not going to like them, but they're my thoughts. You know, Kevin, you and I and Alma and every other American citizen have the right, oh, how we love that word, we have the right to make a decision. But, sir, we do not have the right to choose the consequences for that decision. She disobeyed a lawful order. Her recourse is in civil court. Her recourse is not to have her husband come on the radio and boo-hoo about how she disobeyed a lawful order. My son is a police officer. I have ridden with him on numerous occasions. And I can tell you, sir, that when an officer or a person in authority gives you a lawful order, you obey it. I'm driving down the road right now. I'm not doing anything wrong. I could get pulled over because my vehicle may look like something that was just used in a crime. If an officer tells me to get out and lay down on the ground, you know what I'm going to do, Kevin? I'm going to get out and lay on the ground. If I get incarcerated and I'm falsely arrested, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to obey him. Because that is America, not the America that Jim described and boo-hoo this and boo-hoo, and this could happen to anybody. No, sir, it's not going to happen to me because I obey the law and I raised my three children to obey the law. His recourse is in civil court. His recourse is not to come on the airwaves and boo-hoo about his wife who has a history of disobeying lawful orders. We are a nation of lawful orders. And you, Kevin, have waxed on and on and on, and rightfully so, about those in government who are not following the law. You can't have it both ways. Those, sir, are my thoughts.
Butch, you're always welcome to them. We appreciate it. Don't you think it's a little excessive, though, that she hasn't been allowed to speak with anyone?
Sir, it may be excessive, but again, if it is, her recourse is in civil court. I could see if we were in Nazi Germany and she was hiding people to protect human life. I could see that. I could at least understand that. But, sir, we have got to draw the line in this culture, in this society, where we say either we all obey the laws or none of us do.
Butch,
and
great.
Sir, that's called anarchy.
Butch, great point. I got to run. I apologize. Quickly to traffic. Hello, Dave.